I was lost when you found me here. You pulled me close and held me near. And I'm a fool, but still you love. I'll be a fool for the King of Love. You gave me wings so I could fly, and gave me a song to color the sky. And all I have is all from you, and all I want is all of you. It's grace, your grace. I'm nothing without you. Your grace shines on me. There have been days when I've walked away, too much to carry, nothing left to say. Forgive me, Lord, when I'm weak and lost, for you traded heaven for a wooden cross. And all these years you've carried me. You've been my eyes when I could not see. And beauty grows in the driving rain. Your oil of gladness in the times of pain. Your grace, I'm nothing without you. Your grace shines on me. Your grace, I'm nothing without you. Your grace shines on me. Shines on me, shines on me. Your grace, it shines on me. Shines on me, shines on me. It's your grace. Shines on me, shines on me. Your grace, it shines on me. Shines on me, shines on me. It's your
Mr. Bruner, soon to be Dr. Bruner, so that we can actually say, is there a doctor in the house? And he'll have to say, yes, there is a doctor in the house. Amen. All right. Well, let's take our Bibles, and we're going to go back to the areas that we have been looking at. And Nehemiah 4:6 has been a jumping verse along with Ephesians 4. And verses 11 and 12. So once you find those two areas, Nehemiah 4:6, Ephesians 4:11, why don't you go ahead and stand with me? And deacons, I'm going to have you guys come up and bring my wall over and put it in the place of this communion table here as soon as we get done as well. So be standing by for that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, and then also Nehemiah 4:6, talking about building the wall or the work that we're trying to do together. The topic has been your pastor and your welfare first, and now we have been dealing with your pastor and your work. How are we going to work together in building for the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's building souls for God's kingdom, and that's what this is all about, building, and we're talking about what it takes. Ephesians 4:6 and Ephesians 4:11-12. Everybody at both those areas say amen.
Amen.
Anybody need just a minute to find one or the other? Nehemiah being Old Testament and Ephesians being New Testament. Let's read Nehemiah 4:6 together. Of course, we've already covered chapter 3 where they had to work side by side on the wall, and they accomplished their goal, and that's why we're talking about the need to have a good working relationship, because we're working side by side each other. Verse 6, read that with me in chapter 4. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And there's where we get the phrase, your pastor and your work. Now come over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, and God is talking about gifts that he has given. And some of those gifts he listed here in verse 11 and the reason in verse 12. So let's read those together. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. So the gift that he gave to the church is the pastor and teachers. Amen. Or some call it pastor teacher. And also the evangelists there. The prophets, of course, were the ones instrumental in building, along with the apostles there in the local church. Of course, the apostles and the prophets have all died off, and we only have left the evangelists, pastor, and teacher there. And the reason is verse 12. He says, for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, and that is for the work of the ministry. That is to build the kingdom of God, getting people saved. And then for the edifying of the body of Christ, and that is to build each other up, amen, because the goal is to go and teach people how to be saved, see them baptized, and then to teach them all things whatsoever the Lord commanded us. That's the goal, amen, and that's what the church is all about. That's what we should be doing, and that is part of our building, and so that's where we're going to go and continue looking at building our wall here with some of the things necessary to carry this out and to conduct this in the Lord's business, amen. So let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Thank you for your grace that Steve spoke about. That grace continues to shine upon us, and the Lord to continue to guide us step by step. And Lord, thank you for making your grace a part of our lives, along with your mercy. Lord, we need both grace and mercy. We need the ability and God's favor. But then, Lord, we need to receive things that we know we don't deserve. And so, Lord, we're so thankful for your grace and your mercy that you've bestowed upon us, Lord. Now, Lord, make this service instrumental in our lives tonight as we endeavor to work together as a church body, as the congregation works with me as their pastor and the deacons, Lord, and the teachers and the leadership here. I pray that your hand may be upon us, Lord. We might sense the interweaving nature that we need to have one with another. And Lord, it's all bound up with love and all bound up with the Spirit of God. So help us tonight, Lord, as we look more at the goal before us, Lord. That's building, having a mind to work, and working for the glory of God. Thank you for loving us now, Lord. Bless now the message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, all right. We're not going to blow any chaff around like we did this morning. Amen. But deacons, if we can come up and get this moved to the side over here, then move the box over here, the wall. Let me give you some background information while they're coming up. So far, we've talked about your pastor and your work and the need to work together and to work together having communication, coordination, and cooperation. We gave the definition of those. Of course, communication is going to be the correct swapping and giving of information, and that is so necessary in ministry, making sure that I am communicating with you and then you're communicating with me what it takes to get the job done here at Shining Light Baptist Church. Then we looked at the coordination that's involved with that as well. As the communication is going out and the orders are going out as to what we're supposed to be doing, then we need to make sure that things are coordinated properly. We have people discipling. We have patch going on. We have nursery work going on. We have sound people here. We have vans going out picking up people. And so there's a lot of coordination that goes along with the communication of getting the gospel out and getting people saved and coordinating. But then the end result is that we cooperate to get it all done. Amen. There is something that happens when somebody goes down. Brother Duffy has gone down, and guess what? He had many hats that he wore. And so that has been now filtered to other people who are handling some of the responsibilities. Now, he's still here, praise God. We love having Brother Duffy here, but he cannot do as many things as he used to do before. So now that coordination has to go out, and then the cooperation has to still go out, because guess what? People still need to be picked up. People still need to be saved. Buildings still need to be clean. Amen. Things still need to happen. Amen. So effective communication, coordination, and cooperation is imperative for any vital organism to function. Amen. By the way, if your body doesn't communicate with itself and coordinate and cooperate, guess what? You are going to be a living mess in your body. Trust me, amen. You go to hospital and see people where their bodies aren't coordinating with them, amen. Takesha could talk about that a whole lot. You work in the trauma center, right? Step down ICU. Amen. So when your body isn't coordinating with itself or cooperating with itself, it's going to be a mess when it's not working properly, amen. By the way, the church is a living organism. We're not an organization, although we do have organization. We're not an organization in that respect. We're an organism. We're alive. Amen. We're the body of Christ. Amen. And so we've got to have those things. And so we said that if we're going to have a mind to work and if we're going to be able to build for God, the ministry is going to have to be carried out with communication, coordination, and cooperation. Then we said, in addition to those three, the big three that we call them, is going to have to be conducted with the big six. And we call those things spirituality, loyalty, honesty, integrity, functionality, and unity. And so we began talking about the first two, and I'll just briefly talk about those and hopefully get another two up there. How many are down there? Two. Amen. Spirituality and loyalty. So hopefully we'll get two more down there tonight. Amen. And get through with this. Amen. And we mentioned this. These things really have to be evident in a person's life if they're going to be effective ministers. There's no way you can be an effective minister. Now, you can be a minister.
Yes, sir, you can.
But you're not going to be effective in building or in working if this is a living organism. And so it's imperative that every minister has those three basic qualities together as they're carrying out their ministry of communication, coordination, and cooperation. But then the other six are imperative in order to make sure that the ministry is going to be conducted properly. Amen. And what do we say the reason was? The reason was there's a focus of others that we have to be considering in the building process. Why? We're all people. Amen. How many of y'all are not a person? I mean, some of you might not act like a person, amen. But we're all people, amen. You pinch us, we say, ouch, amen. We're all people here. And so as we're building in this work with God, amen, everybody has a different part of the building to work on. And that's why you see these boxes assembled, representing a wall, amen. And at times, you've got to make sure that you keep focusing on your part of the wall. But at the same time, you've got to make sure that your other partners that are working alongside you are keeping their focus. And sometimes you've got to take focus off of what you're doing to make sure somebody else is staying on focus. Amen. But still have the wherewithal to get back to your focus so that you can have your part of the wall, because the whole of the wall has got to be joined together. You heard Brad mention several different ministries, and he mentioned they're part of a whole. And they are. They're all pieced together. Amen. The nursery, there would be no need for a nursery if there were no children.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Amen. There would be no need for ushers if there was nobody coming in.
That's right, Pastor.
There would be no need for a van ministry if there was nobody to be picked up.
Right.
There would be no need for a preacher if there was nobody need to be saved. Amen. There would be no need for a choir if there was no message in the song they were trying to get put out. Amen. There would be no need for a sound ministry back there if nobody's going to listen to it. Amen. So they're all pieces of a whole put together. And so the ministry is conducted by communication, coordination, and cooperation, but it's going to be carried out then with the things of spirituality and loyalty first and foremost. Why? Because the focus still has to be about people. And I've still got to work with people. By the way, Jesus came to die for people. Contrary to popular belief, he didn't come to die for dogs and cats and horses. Amen. He came to die for man. Why? Man sinned. Man had to be redeemed. Amen. By the way, if there's a need for animals in heaven, then God's going to make sure they're there. I know there'll be horses at least because we're coming back on horses. Amen. So when you look at this focus of others, we have to make sure that the focus stays on the main thing. What is the main thing? Seeing people get saved. That still is the main thing. Until Jesus comes back, that's always been the main thing. And the church is about the main thing of getting people saved. And so everything that we do with our communication, our coordination, our cooperation is about getting people saved. Amen. And focusing on people and their problems and making sure that we can get this thing together. We looked at two different verses. We looked at Galatians 6:2-5, which talked about bearing one another's burdens and also everybody bearing their own burden. And both of those are important. There are certain things that you need each other to help bear. But then there are certain things that you have to bear yourself. Everybody had their purpose of their wall that they had to bear themselves. But they also had the burden to look to their brothers to make sure they could help out with their brothers. Y'all with me on that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, that's what this ministry is all about, helping each other out. And so the one thing that we said that we've got to do, first of all, if we're going to make sure that we help keep the focus of others in mind and helping people out, is to handle things with spirituality. And that's the first thing that we talked about. By the way, if you're not doing things spiritually, you're not going to help the kingdom of God's sake at all. And that is imperative. And I talked about that's fundamental, that's base level, that's primary, that's elementary, that's the most basic. If you neglect that thing right there in spirituality, then you've pretty much messed up everything else with communication, cooperation, and coordination. Because if you handle it in the flesh, it's not going to work. This is spiritual business. And by the way, the devil wants to make sure you handle things in the flesh. Anybody want to know why? Why does the devil want to make sure you handle things in the flesh? Huh? Was that? You can't be in the spirit. Amen. That means God's not in control. Amen. So he wants to make sure that you're in the flesh. Amen. I saw a hand up.
God gets no glory when that happens.
God gets no glory. Amen. Anybody else? Why? Why? Amen. He gets no glory. The spirit's not in control. Yes, Joshua. It glorifies Satan. Amen. Good answer. Amen. And Satan is always about thwarting the plan of God. Satan does not want souls saved, nor does he want to see the church operate smoothly. Why? Because Jesus died for the church. And he is against anything that God loves, especially when it comes to the local church. Amen. And so I mentioned that being spiritual encompasses all of our Christianity and all of our conduct. And a spiritual person is going to be obedient to God and his word. And being spiritual is what we should be moment by moment to please God. Amen. That's just the basics of what we do. Amen. And so we mentioned that that's doing things God's way and not man's way. And the Bible says in Romans 8:8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the spirit. Ye should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the spirit, let us walk in the spirit. And that means doing things not fleshly, not carnally, not physically or mechanically or sensually, but spiritually. And so that is the first thing that we talked about. We talked about it had two parts in it. If I'm going to have spirituality, yeah, it's first of all going to be shown by my love for God. Jesus said in Matthew 22, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart, all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And so the first part of my spirituality is going to be my love for God. How much do I get in God's word on a daily basis, and how much do I pray to my God whom I say I love?
That's right,
amen. That's spirituality. And then the second part is not going to just be my love for God, but then my love for others. Because he said now, and the second is like unto this, thou shalt what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. Your first neighbor is the one that's helping work on the wall with you. which would mean that's your brother or your sister in Christ. Amen. Your second neighbor is going to be the lost outside these walls who need to be saved. And so my spirituality is going to be shown, first of all, by my love for God, but then also, second of all, my love for others. Amen. By the way, if I don't tell anybody about Jesus Christ, can I really say that I love others? I really can't. I can say I love those that love me, but I can't say that I love those that don't love me. And what does God say? Hey, if you love those that love you, what thank do you have? He said, even the unsaved do that. But God wants you to be loving to the unlovely. That's why we go soul winning. Because people need to be saved. They need to hear the gospel, the same message that you have. And so this spirituality is going to encompass those two things, a love for God, which is shown by daily Bible study and daily prayer, knowing him and showing him, and then a love for others is shown by handling people and problems and situations biblically and seeing people saved by soul winning. Number two, we said spirituality is going to be followed up by loyalty. And we looked at Hebrews 13:17, building the wall called for their loyalty to leadership. Who remembers who we looked at in that passage? What Old Testament man did we look at? Or we did look at the pastor, but who did we look at in the Old Testament to define loyalty? Joshua? Not for that one. Anybody else remember? David and Jonathan. What was loyalty? The definition was this: steadfast in allegiance or faithful to a person, ideal, duty, or custom. And I asked a show of hands for people that wanted God to be loyal to them. Guess what? Everybody's hands went up. I said, how many want your spouse to be loyal to you? Everybody's hands went up. I said, how many want your children to be loyal to you? Hands went up. I said, how many children want your parents to be loyal? Every hand went up. And I said, how many think your pastor wants you to be loyal to him? Amen. Every hand should go up because your pastor expects the same loyalty. Amen. And we asked those questions. Amen. And we asked this question, too. Why do some people have a problem with being loyal to the pastor? And many things came out. Amen. Some people have been hurt. Some people have been disenchanted. Some people think he's disenchanted for the money. Some people think he doesn't love him. So what? A whole bunch of reasons came up. Amen. The fact of the matter is, when it comes down to this, something has drawn them away or attracted them away or gotten them off of God's authority, because God's man is still God's man. Amen. By the way, was Jonathan loyal to King Saul, even though King Saul was a bad king? Yes, he was. He was still loyal to King Saul, even though King Saul was a bad king. Being the king's son, was he also loyal to David, who wasn't the king yet, but was going to be the future king? Yes, he was. Did the two conflict? No, they didn't conflict. They never conflicted. He knew who his dad was. He knew his dad was the king. He knew that David was going to be the next one in line. And so there was never a conflict between his father and his friend. The loyalty of authority to his dad and the loyalty of authority to the future king. One was not in the kingship at this point, but would be. The other was in the kingship. And I said this: if you're going to be loyal to your husband, you should be loyal to your husband at home and outside the home. Yes, sir. You're going to be loyal to your wife. You should be loyal to your wife in the home and outside the home. If you're going to be loyal to your children, you should be loyal to your children inside the home and outside the home. Children, if you're going to be obedient, you need to be obedient inside the home and outside the home. Hey, if you're going to be loyal to the pastor, you ought to be loyal inside the church and outside the church. Can I get amen?
Amen.
As reluctantly as you want to say it, it's still the same. Amen. It is what it is. Amen. And we looked at Jonathan's life and his relationship to David to demonstrate true loyalty. Amen. And Jonathan was loyal to David. It did not make him disloyal to his father, who was the king. Amen. And we looked at two basic points, the practice of loyalty. And then we looked at the price of loyalty. In the practice of loyalty, we saw this: loyalty is demonstrated in love by actions, and love pledged allegiance to the leadership. And it said this in 1 Samuel 18:1. Jonathan loved him as his own soul, speaking of David and Jonathan. And it said this in 18:3 of Samuel, 1 Samuel. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And I said this: loyalty is demonstrated in love by actions. Jonathan pledged allegiance to the leadership of David, even though he wasn't the king, but knew he would be the future king. He had no problems with that authority. And then we mentioned point number two: loyalty is demonstrated in protection by actions. 1 Samuel 19:1, Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all servants that they should kill David. And what Jonathan did, he went to David and warned David. He said, look, my dad's trying to kill you. He said, look, you need to be careful. You need to be watching out. You need to do this. And so he protected him. He was loyal to him, even though his dad was the king. And even though his dad said, kill him. Amen. And I mentioned this, protection of your pastor by communicating information to him or sharing information with him that could be harmful to him or his family or the cause of Jesus Christ through the local church is imperative for the loyalty in ministry. That helps everybody. Hey, was not Paul warned on several occasions about danger? He was warned by his nephew one time. He was warned by the Christians another time so that he could avoid danger. He was warned by the Christians over on this time. And they kept saying, look, Paul, watch out. Paul, watch out. Paul, watch out. Why? They didn't want Paul to run into a buzzsaw.
That's right, Pastor. That's
what were they? They were loyal. They were loyal. And so when it comes down to this, people warning Paul of danger, Jonathan is warning David of danger here. That's just goes along with the protection by the actions. And so we looked at loyalty is demonstrated in love by actions, is demonstrated by protection by actions, but it's also demonstrated in cooperation by actions. In 1 Samuel 20 and verse 4, Jonathan said this, then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. He says, if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee and send thee away. He cooperated. He said, look, if I know that my dad's going to hurt you, I'm going to send you away so that you don't get hurt. David, I know God's got his hand on you. I know you're going to be the future king. David, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to cooperate with you and let you know if my dad's going to do anything to you. Hey, if you know if anything is going to be detrimental to the ministry of Shining Light Baptist Church and you don't tell, that's considered disloyal. Not only is it disloyal, that's a hurt to the body of Christ, which Christ died for. And you cannot say that you're a loyal follower of Jesus Christ if you're not loyal to his leadership to tell danger, because that's exactly what Jonathan did. That's exactly what they did for Paul in the New Testament. Amen. We've said this as well. Loyalty is demonstrated in encouragement by actions. 1 Samuel 23:16, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And we saw that Jonathan went to Saul, went to David, even when Saul couldn't find him, and strengthened him and said, look, let me encourage you some, knowing that his life was in danger. So the practice of loyalty involved these things. It was demonstrated in love by actions. It was demonstrated by protection. It was demonstrated by cooperation. It was also demonstrated in encouragement. Then we talked about the price of loyalty. Loyalty can be demonstrated by being persecuted for your actions. Amen. Because Jonathan stuck his neck out, guess what? He got in trouble. I mentioned this. When we are loyal, we may be misunderstood, number one, mishandled, number two, or mistreated by people, number three, all because we're standing for God's loyal cause. By the way, people like King Saul are not going to like you when you're loyal to leadership, especially when they know it jeopardizes their position. Amen. Saul knew that as long as David was alive, his position was in jeopardy. But God didn't intend for David to reign until Saul was finished reigning. Amen. Jonathan knew that that was the intent. He knew that his dad was going to reign and then God was going to move him to the side and David was going to step up. He had no problem with that. Saul had big problems with that. Why? He was afraid of losing his position. He was more afraid of his position than he feared God. 1 Samuel 20:30 says this, then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. He said unto him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion? 1 Samuel 20:33, and Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. So we talked about loyalty sometimes. It's going to be a high price that you pay. I remember a time at my church at the Calvary Baptist Church that many of the men were against my pastor. Mm-hmm. And I stood with my pastor.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Some of the other men were just kind of like, we're not. I can't believe that you're standing with him. I said, I can't believe that you're not standing with him.
Amen, Pastor.
Do you have a reason not to stand with him?
That's right.
Well, so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that. And your point is, who's God's man? All right. If that's God's man, you let God take care of his man, but I'm standing with him. And guess what? The man of God was vindicated in the end.
That's right, he was.
Most of the other men aren't even serving God now. I'm just saying. Hey, when you stick with God's anointed authority, and if that man is wrong, God's going to deal with that man. Amen. But you don't put your hand and you continue to be loyal unless you got a reason not to be. Amen. And by the way, oftentimes you don't have one. Because it all boils down to how much are you praying for him. Amen. Amen. I'm just saying. So we're building this wall. We're working together. We're working side by side. We know it takes communication, coordination, cooperation. We know it's going to be carried out with spirituality. We know it's going to be carried out with loyalty. We've got to have that. Hey, if we're going to work close with the pastor, if I'm going to be a leader, if I'm going to do something in the house of God, I've got to be on this team working side by side, elbow to elbow, knowing that they're communicating with me and trusting me. I'm trusting them. We're working together. We're spiritual. We're loving God. We're loving others. We're loyal to one another. We trust each other, and we can go someplace and we can do something. Now we got another piece to put up here. The next one is very vital as well. Joe, come on up here, and you're going to need somebody to help you out. The next piece that we need to put up on the wall. After knowing that we've got some spirituality, after knowing we've got some loyalty, the next thing that the ministry is going to require is this thing called honesty. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Ephesians 4 and verse 15. And put that one down there, brother. Ephesians chapter 4, you should already be there. And notice down there in verse number, let's pick it up with verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and that's being singular, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Notice this, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. We looked at that this morning. And carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But notice verse 15, but speaking the what? The truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And so the next piece of this puzzle that we need is honesty. What is honesty? It is fairness and straightforwardness of conduct, or a person that's trustful and factual, or truthful and factual. So if I've got a love for God, I've got a love for people, I'm a soul winner, amen, I'm loving God, I'm reading my Bible, I'm going to be loyal to the authority that is in the house of God, I'm going to make sure that I'm sticking out my neck if it be that, but then I've got to be honest with my leadership, and I've got to make sure that I can talk to my leadership and be truthful with them. Why is it necessary for honesty to be in ministry? What was that, brother? No one likes a liar. Amen. Why else? Why is it necessary to be honest in ministry? Integrity could be at stake. Amen. How can the ministry be built on lies? No. Yes. Joshua? Was it? Cannot what? Yes, right. Can't be born on lies. Amen. Why is it necessary to be honest? Yeah, Diana? God is truth. Now, let me ask you. Yes, go ahead. Amen. How many of you want your marriages to be built on lies?
No.
Nobody? How many want your relationship with your children to be built on lies? Nobody?
No.
Then why is it so hard to come into church and be honest?
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
We don't want our marriages to be that way. We don't want our children to be that way. But then we come in the house of God and it's hard to be honest with people. Why is it so hard to be honest in the house of God where truth should reign supreme? Yeah, Rose? You don't want to hurt people's feelings. Amen. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. Amen. Because the Bible says speaking the truth in love.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
Why else? Don't want to hurt people's feelings. Why is it so hard to be honest in the house of God? Some folks just get on, they just throw daggers at me because I speak the truth from up here.
Amen, Pastor.
And sometimes they say, well, you don't say it in love.
Oh, boy. Amen, Pastor.
You're lucky you didn't hear me 13 years ago. Yes. I saw a hand up over here. Yeah, Trill. It's going to sound like it's good. A lie does sound pretty good sometimes.
Yes,
amen. But now listen to me now. But we want it in our spouses. We want it from our children, but it's hard here. Jeremiah? Amen. Devil wants to ruin the work, and devil makes it easy to tell a lie and hard to tell the truth. Amen. And you said a mouthful there, son. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Rose? Make yourself look good. That's a pride issue. Amen. And that's true for all of us. Amen. Julianne? Amen. Amen. That's true. That's on the other hand. Yeah. Teresa White, then we get Diana. Amen. And that's got a lot of truth to it. I remember I was asking somebody one time as they were going out, shaking hands. And I said, I see you back tonight. They said, preacher, you just talked about lying in church. And so I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to be back tonight. I said, well, at least you're honest. Amen. I said, I'm not going to even lie. I'm not coming back tonight. I just want to let you know that. So I'm not going to tell you, yeah, not come back tonight. Amen. You just mentioned that. Amen. And that is true. Amen. When we look at our relationships that are not based on honesty, and if the church is supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth, it cannot be based on lies. And so that means everybody in its leadership and in its membership has got to be a person of truth and a person of character and a person of good integrity and tell the truth, even if it hurts. Sometimes the truth does hurt.
Uh-huh.
Amen. And we don't like to hear the truth. Amen. Oftentimes. Yeah. Nobody wants to be told they're wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody wants to be told that. Amen. But guess what? We're wrong at some point in our life. Your children are wrong at some point in their life. Your husband, your wife is going to be wrong at some point in their life. And somebody's got to tell them the truth. Amen. Who better to tell them the truth than somebody they love?
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Amen. Hey, what did Paul say? Do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?
That's right.
Hey, Jesus says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. He said it's the pillar and ground of the truth. So the church in its building process has got to be conducted with some communication, coordination, cooperation. But it's got to be carried out with some spirituality, some love for God, some love for people, some loyalty in the ranks. Amen. Because if I'm not loyal in the ranks, amen, I'm going to break the ranks. And I'm going to tear the ranks apart. And then throw in some honesty. Let me just make sure that I'm going to be upfront and honest with people. Amen. And by the way, sometimes we just don't want to tell the truth because we know it's going to make us look bad.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody asks you, hey, how was your Bible reading today? Oh, good. And you know you didn't touch the Bible that morning.
Right.
You know you didn't touch it. Oh, did you pray for me like you said you were? Yes, Lord. Yeah, I forgot to pray for him, but Lord, help him now. Yeah. No, you just lied. Hey, that's not helping me any. Amen. You're supposed to be honest with me. Now you got to confess two things. Amen. And so oftentimes we want to look good in people's faces. So honesty becomes a problem, and it cannot be a problem for Christians that are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Why? He died for the church. And so honesty is imperative for us. Amen. How many actually do lie to the pastor by not being loyal and being honest about what they said they were going to do? Amen. It happens all the time. If I had a dime for everybody that lied to me, I'd be rich. Amen. I really would. Amen. And sometimes you tell the pastor what he wants to hear. Amen. And just to placate and pacify him. And guess what? I still don't have a heaven to put you in. And I still don't have a hell to keep you out of. So I'm not the problem. There's a God in heaven who is looking at what you do as far as your communication, cooperation, and coordination. There's a God who's looking at your spirituality. There's a God who's looking at your loyalty and honesty. I don't have any place to put you in or to keep you out of. I'm just God's messenger to guide this local church as a body together. Amen. I don't have anything to put you in. But I can sure give an account. With joy or with grief, Amen. That's the pastor and your welfare. Amen. And so when you're looking at this, amen, when you are not being loyal and honest to the pastor by telling him what you know in the loyalty department, guess what? You're already being dishonest because you have information that could be detrimental to the ministry. And you haven't shared that, and the ministry could go under. How many churches have folded and closed their doors because somebody in the church knew something that was going on in the ranks? They didn't share it, and it got out. It was a mess that could have been avoided with honestly confronting issues, honestly cutting things straight on and saying, look, do you know something that I don't know? Amen. Then why don't you tell me what you know? Amen. Is that not what Jonathan did? Yes, that's exactly what Jonathan did. He said, look, I know my dad's trying to kill you, King Saul, and you need to watch it. Amen. Hey, they said, Paul, I know they're trying to kill you, Paul. Don't go that away. Go that away. Hey, Paul, if you go this way, they're going to get you. So you need to go that away. Amen. They were always protecting and being loyal. And so part of my honesty is sharing what I know to be loyal to the man of God, that the church is not affected adversely, because when it is, it affects everybody. And guess what? Our building slows down. Our building is squandered. Our building is minimized, and we cannot build because one of our builders is down. Or maybe two of our builders are down. Or maybe three of our builders are down. And because nobody talked about these builders being down, this part of the wall can't be joined together. And so we can't do the business with loyalty or spirituality, because somewhere along the trail, honesty was negated. I'm just saying. It's all a package deal, folks. And so when it comes to this honesty bit, I've got to say what I mean and mean what I say and say it in love. Amen. Go down to verse number 15. It says, speaking the truth in what? Love may grow up into him unto all things, which is the head, even Christ. Amen. Hold your Bibles there. Or hold your finger there. Go over to 1 Timothy and chapter number 3. Show you that verse about the pillar and the ground of the truth. This is what Paul said about the church. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the where? House of God, which is the what? Church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the what? Truth. Then that means that if this is going to be the place of truth, then I've got to conduct myself with honesty in everything that I do. Amen. It's got to be built. By the way, if the church is built on lies, it's going to crumble.
That's right, Pastor.
It's going to crumble. If the membership is known for being liars and dishonest and disloyal, guess what? That thing is going to fall apart. The wheel is going to fall right off that wagon. It is not going to go far. The leadership, if nobody else is going to be this way, the leadership needs to be good communicators, good coordinators, and good cooperators. The leadership, at a base minimum, have got to be spiritual, loving God with all their heart, mind, and soul, and loving people by soul winning and working through problems. And the people of leadership got to be loyal, and they've got to be honest, because that's what it's all riding on. Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
Hey, what if Mama doesn't tell the truth and Daddy does tell the truth? That wagon still ain't going to run.
That's right, Pastor.
Hey, what if Mama tells the truth and Daddy doesn't tell the truth? That wagon still ain't going to run. Hey, what if the children, Mom and Dad, tell the truth and the children don't tell the truth? That wagon still ain't going to run. Why? They're a package deal. They're a unit. And they work together. And so when you look at the church, it's a building that's fit together. Amen. And the Colossians, go over there. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 9. Again, is it hard to be honest sometimes? Yes, when our pride is in the way. Colossians 3:9 says this, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have what? Put off the old man with his deeds. The thing that we have to do in the local church is learn to communicate your heart and your feelings in love honestly. Say that again. The thing that we have to learn in the local church is learn to communicate your heart and your feelings in love with honesty.
Honesty. Right.
Hey, a church that can communicate their heart and their feelings in love honestly and still be loyal is going to be a church that's going to go a long way. A church that is afraid to communicate their heart in love honestly is going to be a church that is going to be divided.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Jesus said a kingdom divided against itself is going to fall. And so what I'm saying is that as we're building here, and as these people were close together and working together, they needed to conduct themselves with this. But they also had to have these things in their life. Add one more piece onto that. Brother Joe, if you can get somebody else to help you out with the next piece. And this one goes closely related with the last one. Go over to Psalm 26 and verse 1. Psalm 26:1. And I know we've given Psalms a workout. In Psalms 26, verse 1, after we've got our loyalty down, our honesty down, Pat, our spirituality down, Pat, there's a fourth ingredient that needs to go in here. We're learning to communicate our heart and our feelings in love with honesty, and we're loyal. And now this next piece comes into play. Psalm 26 in verse 1. And read that with me together. Verse number 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. The next piece that goes right next to loyalty is integrity and honesty. If I'm going to be loyal and conduct the business of the ministry with some honesty, then that means I'm going to have to be a man or a woman or a young person of integrity. Say, preacher, what is integrity? I'm glad you asked. The concordance definition says to be morally innocent, to be upright, to be perfect. Now, let me ask you this question, rhetorical question. You don't have to answer. Can you honestly say when you walk through the doors of this church every time you're morally innocent? Can you say that you are upright? Can you say that you are perfect when you enter these doors? If you can't say that, you know what you need to say as soon as you cross that threshold? Lord, forgive me of my sin. Lord, what is it that's going to hinder my relationship today? Because I'm telling you, when you walk through those doors and your integrity has not been checked, your honesty is going to be in jeopardy. And if your honesty is in jeopardy, your loyalty is going to be in jeopardy. And if your loyalty is in jeopardy, your spirituality is already in jeopardy, because you're not going to love the brethren and you're not going to have a love for God because you missed out on integrity. You're a hypocrite because you're not what you appear to be, even though you know you came through those doors and you're not right. And now the building is at stake and souls aren't being saved and people aren't being discipled because of integrity. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. You say, preacher. Hey, what did the psalmist say in verse 2? Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. He said, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy what? Truth. Honesty. He lists the things that he's not done. I've not sat with vain persons. Neither will I go in with dissemblers. Dissemblers are people that conceal and hide sin. He says, I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. He said, I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. For what? That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. He says, you know what? I want to do this part. I want to be spiritual. I want to have a love for God and a love for others. I want to tell others about you, God, but I can't do it if I don't have some integrity, because you're not going to bless. You're not going to hear because I'm in sin. But notice what he says down there. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. Know what he's saying? I love being in church and the place where thine honor dwelleth. He's saying, I love being in the house of God. He says, I came through there and my integrity has been checked already. Verse 11, notice what he says? But as for me, I will walk in mine what? Integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place, and the congregations will I bless the Lord. He's saying, you know what? My integrity has been checked. My moral innocence has been checked. My uprightness has been checked. My perfectness or maturity has been checked. By the way, the dictionary definition says this: a person of integrity is sound in character. They're undivided and complete. They're morally upright at all times and in all places. Amen. There's some things when one of our letters of our ABCs of Christian service was integrity. And I had some quotes that I wrote down. Here's a couple of them. It says, when you have integrity, there's no discrepancy between what you appear to be and what your family knows you are. Good, wow. It says this, the measure of a person's character is what he or she would do if never found out.
Wow.
That's integrity. If nobody ever found out, would you do what you do? Because if you don't do it, then that means you're only doing it for the show of people. Another quote is this. People of integrity expect to be believed. They also know time will prove them right and are willing to wait. Another one says, when wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. When character is lost, all is lost. Wow. If we use the term in a building capacity, if a building is said to be have structural integrity, what does that mean? It means that the structure is fit to withstand the severe conditions that it may have applied to it, and it's reliable throughout its lifetime. If I have integrity, guess what? I have the same thing. I have the same thing. And so integrity is godliness with nothing to hide. My question, are we showing and being who we truly are in Christ? Or are we different at church or different at home or different at school or different at work than we are in the house of God? This won't get the church far as we build together for the glory of God. God will not bless sin or lack of integrity. He's not going to overlook it. Why? It's a moral issue. It's a character issue. It's a sin issue. It's hypocritical. And so if I don't have integrity, these other things are already in question. I've said it before and I'll say it again. When you come to the house of God, I don't care what could have happened the 10 minutes before you got here. You need to get your heart right with God.
Amen.
I don't care if you just had a spat with your husband or your wife or your children. You need to say, look, son, daughter, kids, let's get right. We're going in the house of God. We're going in to be a blessing and to receive a blessing. And we cannot do it if we are in sin, because our integrity is going to be at stake, which means our honesty is at stake, which means our loyalty is at stake, which means our spirituality is at stake. And we're not going to get anything done for God. Amen. Hey, don't you find it sometimes it's hard when you walk in the church and it seems like the spirit is kind of dead, or the spirit is kind of down, or there's a damper, or it seems like there's a lid on the spirit. There's no liberty and things just seem kind of cold and tense. That means somebody's in sin. It's either amen or oh me. Because there ain't no problem with God. There's no problem with his Holy Spirit. There's no problem with his word. That means that somebody has put a lid on the Holy Spirit and sitting on that thing and saying, look, I got sin, but I'm not going to get it right. Yeah, I got integrity issues, and so what of it? God sees that and God says, I ain't going to bless that church. Hey, if there's honesty issues going on, he says, I'm not going to bless that church. I may bless individual lives, but I'm not going to bless that church collectively or cooperatively. If there's some loyalty issues, I'm not going to bless that church. I may bless individuals, but I'm not going to bless that church because there's some issues there. If there's no spirituality, we can't expect God to overlook our sin and bless us just because he loves us that much.
That's right, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Gregor. Amen. That well said, son. And that's basically it.
That's good.
And you know who's laughing the whole way? Satan.
Satan is.
Satan said, I got him again. Hey, one bad apple will spoil the whole bunch. And that's why we're going over this, because if we're going to have some leadership in the Shining Light Baptist Church that's going to do something for God, then we've got to be all the same sheet of music. Go back to Proverbs. We're going to close with this one. Proverbs 11 and verse 3. You're at Psalms. Go to Proverbs 11. And in Proverbs, by the way, building for God is not an easy thing when you're working with people. Proverbs chapter 11, and notice verse number 3. The Bible says this. Matter of fact, go up to verse number 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. That's doing things fairly and honestly. It says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. That's being humble to recognize we've got some issues. Verse 3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. And perverseness there means crooked dealings or being deceitful. And he says, you know what? That's going to destroy them. And by the way, may I add, it'll destroy the church. If we're a team and if we're working together, then we all have to have a certain amount of integrity. By the way, do you want your pastor to have integrity? Or do y'all want me to be by night a drug pusher?
No.
Or at night be a pimp?
No.
Or at night be a cat burglar?
No.
And y'all see me on the 9 o'clock news. Pastor, by night's a burglar, by day's a preacher. Amen. I don't think y'all would like that a whole lot if I had integrity issues like that. But wait a minute. What about me? I don't think that I want you to be that way either. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. You want me to be a certain standard. You want me to have integrity. Hey, I want you to be a certain way. Hey, wait a minute. Would you want me to be a liar, not be honest? Oh, you guys, none of you guys have ever sinned in your life.
Oh, boy.
I could be like Joel Osteen. God loves you so much. He'll overlook your sin, and all you got to do is do this, and God loves you, and you just dream about it, and you just think.
That's good, Pastor. That's good.
Better think again.
Oh, yes.
You don't want me to be dishonest to you.
No.
So wait a minute. I don't want you to be dishonest to me. Wait a minute. It doesn't stop with me. Hey, I got an assistant pastor. I don't want you to be dishonest to him or his wife. Or my wife, or the choir director, or the deacon's wives, they want you to be honest with them too.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
And so it goes both ways. And I definitely want you to be loyal to me, amen. Hey, Jonathan was loyal even though David was not the king yet. He still had loyalty.
Yes,
hey, you want me to be loyal to you, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I want you to be loyal to me.
Amen, Pastor.
Say, but preacher, you're asking a hard thing. I don't think so. I don't think so. Spirituality. How many of y'all want me to be up here in the flesh?
No.
But how many of you actually pray for me to be up here in the spirit?
That's good.
You get what you pray for.
Yes, sir. You got to pray for your master.
That's why you're not what you need to be. Well, hey, there you go.
Amen.
Hey, I'm just saying, these things are going to be necessary if we are going to build a wall successfully. And we're not building a physical wall, but we're building the lives of men, women, boys, and girls. We've got teachers next door, and we've got people in the nursery that are building your children's lives. We've got people in different classrooms for Sunday school that are effectively trying to bring everybody together on one sheet of music. They're trying to do it with some cooperation, coordination, and some communication. They're trying to do it with some spirituality, loyalty, honesty, and integrity. And we need you to work with us to help build people for the kingdom of God's sake. Why? We're all in this together. Last time I checked, this wasn't called Pastor Dawson Baptist Church. This is called Shining Light Baptist Church. We all have a part in this, and we all give a little bit to the big whole picture. And it's going to be carried out with those big three, communication, coordination, and cooperation, but it's going to be conducted on a regular basis with spirituality, with honesty, with loyalty, with some integrity. Those things are going to be necessary. We've got three more pieces to plug in. And that's basically what this ministry is going to be held to here in the next coming year. That's always been there. It's just never been preached or talked about. But it's always been in place. It's been there. We've always been talking about communicating and coordinating, cooperating. We've always been talking about spirituality, loving God and loving others, being a soul winner, having loyalty and honesty. We've always talked about that. But now we're enforcing it more so than we ever have. And we're showing you this is what it takes to have a successful ministry, doing it by God's word. Without those things, hey, folks, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. You say, preacher, those are hard things. They're really not. They're really not. They're actually very, very easy. We'll pick up next week with the next letter on here. But it's going to be the next couple. We talked about getting past the focus of others, but next week we'll talk about getting past the feelings of others. You still have to come to Shining Light Baptist Church, and you still have to minister and get past the feelings of other people who aren't right with God. It's going to happen. You've got to come here and get past the feelings of unsaved people at Shining Light Baptist Church. You've got to. Why? You can't make somebody get right. You can't make somebody do right. You can't make somebody be right. The only thing you can do is stay right. It's the only thing you can do. And you're going to have to get past their feelings if we're going to get this ministry to run smoothly, because God's going to hold you accountable for your own spirituality, your own loyalty, your own honesty, and your own integrity. He's not going to hold you accountable for mine.
That's right, Pastor.
But he will hold you accountable for yours. And God's going to hold me accountable for mine. Folks, let's just get busy with God and build together and let God be God and let God run in our lives the things that he's trying to run in our lives. And let's build the wall together. So built we the wall, it said, and the half was joined together. And they did a work because they had a mind to work. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer. Again, the pastors and the deacons will be out in the foyer to shake your hands. And we'll be out there to greet you. Pastor White, why don't you come on up here and close in a word of prayer. Again, be praying for Lilia and for Shane as they're down. Pray for Derek as he is traveling right now back to Michigan by bus. Now that we successfully got him off the plane and on the bus.
Amen.
Pastor White, close in a word of prayer.
I'll just say one thing before we dismiss it.
Involved in the ministry of helping out with cleaning and straightening the church out after the services. You can see one of the deacons, Brother Hall or either Brother Perkins. It would be greatly appreciated. As you know, around here, we don't have a staff that comes in and do that. But we have to do it ourselves collectively. And if you want to be a part of that, it is necessary. It is very needful. And if you like to do that, please see one of them. You can help out with that. We would appreciate that. Amen? Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you again for tonight, Lord. Thank you for your blessings. And thank you for all of these things that have been brought to our attention tonight. Lord, may they be weaving throughout the ministry, but also in our hearts and lives, Lord, that we might be a part of this great building of a work that would be pleasing to you. And Lord, that we let nothing come between our love for you and anything that